Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Robert Cray, my favorite blues man, maybe yours too. If he wasn't before, he probably is now. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Hope you'll do that because it comes every Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. We always try to put some things in there that will help you with your small business, some things that I have to say about that, at least a couple of articles, a longer one and a shorter one. And also don't forget the schedule, the week schedule of the guests who are going to be on coming up straight ahead in that week are at the bottom of the newsletter. So I hope you'll check that out. A lot of folks have done that over the years. We're in our sixth year now. We have something under a million subscribers, but certainly in the thousands. And we're glad to have all of them. And I hope you'll join our group. Doug Berry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Doug is Director of Marketing and Communications for the U.S. Commercial Services. That's a very important part of the Department of Commerce. And he's here to talk to us about some pretty exciting things regarding importing and exporting. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Well, Doug, one of the things I want to start on before we get into the other things that you had on your mind is you're going to take a little road trip in the next week or so, aren't you?
Yes, on Tuesday I'm headed off to Hong Kong.
Now, what in the world are you going to do in Hong Kong? This is a work trip, right?
It's a work trip, and we, the commercial service, have about 180 offices around the world. And one of them is in Hong Kong, and we're there basically to help U.S. companies export to that market, to the rest of China, and the rest of the world.
Now, doesn't a trip like that need a resident talk show host just to make sure everything goes well? Don't you need somebody?
I think that would be a very good thing. I understand that the food is quite good in Hong Kong.
Well, that's what I hear. I have not been to Hong Kong, but if you like food, Jim? I'm afraid so. If you could see me, you'd know that I have no problem being around food at all. Well, congratulations on that kind of a trip. You're going to be running that office over there for a month?
Running the office for a month, and any of your listeners who are interested in entering China, send me an email. Give me a call. I'll give you some personalized service.
Now, in about three or four weeks from now, maybe right like in the middle of the second or third week of your month trip over there, I'd like to invite you to come back on the show and tell us how things are over there.
Sure, I'd be happy.
Will you do that? All right, we'll do that. We'll do that in next month, and I'm looking forward to that. So, what's the news out there on small businesses exporting in the United States to other parts of the world?
Well, I think the news is good. The U.S. Exports for 2004 were up substantially. Practically every state in the country had an increase. Many of them double digit, and
wow.
Many of the exporters are small. Companies with fewer than 25 employees, like many of your listeners,
mm-hmm.
That's the good news. So the good news is that more of these companies are exporting than ever before, and it's easier than ever before.
So the bad news is we've got a trade deficit. The good news is the trend is up, and we like that.
That's correct. And I think we're in a position today, the U.S. Commercial Service, the outfit that I work for, to help more of your listeners than ever before, join companies like one of our clients out in Columbus, Ohio, that makes dog care products. Increase your bottom line by developing some new markets outside the country.
What kind of products do they make?
Well, these are dog care products, Jim, and this is a nice
segue. Is this like a brush or flea collars or what?
No, these are hair conditioning products.
Ah.
They're sprays, they're detanglers, they're conditioners, and they're shampoos.
I could probably use some of that detangling myself. Did you know that this is Take Your Dog to Work Day?
Yes, I heard that.
See, folks, you think we don't have You think we don't have programming? We don't have our programming squared away. We know about all this stuff. We coordinate this stuff. There are high level meetings going on here all the time.
To make sure
we coordinate all this programming with what's going on in the world. So now, how many people are this company? By the way, give us the name of the company.
It's Velis Products Incorporated of Columbus, Ohio, and it's a family-owned company. The owner is one of the partners in it, and her name is Sharon Doherty, and she's the president. And one of her family members is a chemist, and he got busy in the kitchen or the basement or the garage, which these are the main places, Jim, where our clients get started.
When I see you're blowing my image there, Doug. I'm imagining like a Dr. Frankenstein kind of a laboratory.
So, no, actually, it was pretty.
So now you're telling me it was just on a pot and pan in on top of the stove, huh?
That was the case. And what they figured out is that while most of the existing dog care products are very sensitive to dog skin, which tends to be more sensitive than humans. Many of these products left the dog hair, the dog coat, pretty lifeless, drab, and I guess the word would be mousy.
Right. Which we could never use that. I mean, obviously, you could never have that with a cat, so at least it's with a dog, right?
You could, and exactly. And so they found that there was an absence in the market for a product like this, and so with the experience that the chemist had in hair care products for humans, they came up with formulas that left the dog hair shiny and bright and poofy.
And if you've been watching any of the dog shows on television, Doug, the dog show business is a huge industry around the world, isn't it?
Never mind
Fido, but the people who raise the purebred animals. This is like the red carpet on Academy Award night when these dogs go out there, isn't it?
And they're intense, these people. You don't want to get in between them, their dogs, and their shows.
And no dog ever won Best of Show with mousy hair. We know that for sure,
exactly,
don't we?
That's absolutely true. And what they found is that the other big trend around the world, and it's certainly true here, they say that a dog, gives unconditional love to its owners, so it should require a kind of spa treatment. And so people have gone upscale in looking for these kinds of products, not only here.
That's the story they're sticking to, right, Doug?
Exactly.
How many employees do they have?
They have seven.
Seven employees. This is a seven-employee small business that's exporting all over the world. We're going to talk some more about this and some other things right after these messages. We're visiting with our good friend Doug Barry. He's with the U.S. Commercial Services. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back. That's all I've ever for myself, if you please. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Barry, Director of Marketing and Communications for the U.S. Commercial Services. Doug, have you ever changed your title since the last time that we collected that information? Have you?
Haven't changed it, but we're not so into titles, Jim. We basically just do the job.
You're our undersecretary for import exports here on the Brain Trust.
You're our
ambassador to commerce in the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Doug, give us your website, please.
Yes, it's www.export.gov.
Export.gov. You can go there, folks. There's a whole host, which means many, many things that are there to help you and to find out, just to educate yourself. And I certainly encourage you to educate yourself more about how to export and maybe even import. I know Doug's business is to get products out of the United States, but you know what? Maybe for you, it's something you want to bring into the United States. My favorite story, Doug, is the Tennessee company that makes salsa and sells it in Mexican supermarkets. That story that you've told us before. Now, this company that's doing the dog care products, the hair care products, They've got 7 employees. Now, we established the market because, you know, they looked around and said, you know what? People are really spending money on their pets. They've got their empty nest. They don't have kids at home anymore. They want a pet, or they're raising purebred animals. They're doing this all over the world. I guess they did some research and found out that there wasn't these kinds of products weren't as readily available.
That's right. And we did that research for them, Jim.
Wow.
And this, again, is on the theme of, you know, it's not that difficult to do, and there's lots of help, much of it free or low cost, available to U.S. companies. And so they said, well, you know, what's the dog hair care market in Mexico? Mm-hmm. So we have an office in Mexico, and we did the research for them and found out that there were all kinds of dog shows in Mexico. Certain kinds of breeds of dogs are favored there, which are probably different than the ones favored in the United States.
Especially the Chihuahua, of course.
The Chihuahua is important, and then they would look, and then we would find that there were sort of different cultural, idiosyncrasies in those countries. They might like a less poofed look on their Shih Tzus than we have in this country.
Well, and the last thing in the world you'd want would be a poofy Chihuahua that had that hair was mousy. You would never want that.
I don't know that you can have a poofy Chihuahua, but you can certainly have.
I think there is actually a long-haired Chihuahua.
Maybe there. Well, you're the expert. I haven't done the research.
You're right. That's me. I'm the dog expert. No question about that. Go ahead.
But we did the research and we found that there were 150 dog shows throughout the year in Mexico. And we found out where they were and who to contact. And then we introduced the people at the shows to this company in Columbus, Ohio, and they were able to do business. And we repeated that in 23 different places, different countries around
Wow.
the world. We found out what the phytosanitary regulations were in those places, what the labeling requirements were, mm-hmm. so they could change the labeling to fit the requirements of the different countries.
You have to know how the name of the products translate, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to make sure that it's not like the General Motors product of a number of years ago, the Nova, which translates in Spanish as Nova, which means no go.
No go.
So you wouldn't want to have that mistake,
right?
Or the other mistake that a big Fortune 500 company made in Saudi Arabia, where they put up signs on the roadway. And this was for their cleaning products, their detergents, and they didn't get it right concerning that the Arabic language you read from right to left,
right,
to the left to right. And so what happened was is the white clothes in the billboard became progressively dirtier instead of the other way around. So those things are important, and we can help with those too to make sure you don't make any cultural blunders and spoil your chances of being successful in the market.
What did this company, this dog care company, did they have U.S. sales first?
They did. They had U.S. sales first, but that's not a requirement. Some
right.
companies start out being an export company, but most have a market in the United States before venturing abroad.
Here's my question. What did their sales revenue, do you know anything about how it increased when they started exporting?
Oh, yes. Now about 60% of the company's income revenue comes from overseas sales, and that's rather typical of the clients that we deal with. Once they get started, pretty soon they find that their overseas sales are outstripping their domestic ones.
Well, but let's correct. I don't want to get too far out on a limb here, Doug, but it sounds to me like if they already had U.S. sales, that by going international, they actually more than doubled their sales volume.
Yes, that's true.
That would be the way that would work, I would think. And so congratulations to them. And you're going to make contact with them and get them in touch with us so we can have that company on the show. I want my audience to hear about their success story.
That would be great. And, in fact, they're featured in a video we've just done, and you can access that video on export.gov.
All right.
You can watch 5 or 10 minutes of them and meet their dogs.
Doug, this is a great story, and I'm really excited about you going to Hong Kong, and I'm excited about you being on the show from over there, and we're going to work all that out. Thank you for all you do for small business, Doug.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim, and have a great weekend.
We'll see you later. Doug Barry, ladies and gentlemen, with the U.S. Commercial Services, and he's Director of Marketing and Communication. That's Export. www.ohio.gov. I hope you'll check that out, folks. This is a very valuable website. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Leslie Kossoff. She's in England. 29 after. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.